kindergarten going to the Wiggle Worms, and our elementary age kids are going to our back table. Our elementary age kids today are using their imagination to create creatures out of Legos. So, Bob Yoder, is it true that our sense of smell is the closest that's linked to our memory centers in our brain?
That's why the frog is such a great thing through the nose, I guess.
Through the nose? Most famous for his equation
E equals MC squared.
You guys are
something that is inherent in you. Knowledge is of specific facts, something you acquire. Jared?
I think I heard wisdom is knowledge, excuse me, is what you know.
Oh, there's a microphone. There's a microphone. Thanks.
Oh, sorry. I'm not very wise. Knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is how you apply it.
Wisdom is the application of your knowledge. Over the years. And Jack?
Knowledge will teach you how to make a living. Wisdom will teach you how to live.
Oh. Did you all hear that?
No.
Knowledge will teach you how to make a living. Wisdom teaches you how to live. Beautiful. Betsy and Jack.
This one.
That microphone is coming around.
Knowledge doesn't have a male or female, but wisdom has a she.
Wait a minute.
And Jack?
Knowledge is knowing tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing how to put it in a fruit salad.
I love this quote when it comes to knowledge and wisdom. Albert Einstein says, the true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. For knowledge is limited to what we now know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. Imagination. Imagination opens us to knowing what we do not know. It opens us to new possibilities. So even one of the world's greatest scientists refused to not only rely on knowledge, but also imagination. And that's where wisdom comes in. It's that application of knowledge. So can we only rely on rational thinking and scientific knowledge when asking questions about miracles? Are miracles real? Who would like a chocolate bar? Really, who wants a chocolate bar? Here you go. Perceive things sometimes, especially when we're desperate for something. those around us or the world around us. So, in using imagination and thinking about miracles, Brian McLaren asked the question this way. What happens to us when we imagine miracles happening? That we can see miracles, that they're not just for me, but they're for all of us to see and experience. The purpose of miracles is to stretch our thinking, to use our imaginations, to consider more than ourselves, and to reflect on how God is working in and through our circumstances. So let's go to the Bible and read together one of the first miracle stories in the book of John. 3 days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were guests also. When they started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, "They're just about out of wine." Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother, yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." 6 stoneware water pots were there, used by the Jews for ritual washing. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus orders the servants, "Fill the pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Now, fill the pitchers and take them to the host," Jesus said, and they did. When the host tasted the water and had come wine, he didn't know what had just happened, but the servants, of course, knew. He called out to the bridegroom, "Everybody I know begins with their finest wines, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you save the best till now." Jesus went to a wedding with his disciples and his mom, and when his mom noticed suddenly that they were running out of wine, you can almost hear the two of them in this situation. His mom pushing him to solve the problem, and Jesus talks back to his mom, "Stop pushing me on this." So, like a good mother would do, she completely ignores her son, and she goes to the servant and works her way around the problem. She tells the servants, "When Jesus approaches you, just do whatever he asks." Because she knows eventually her son is going to come around. Finally, Jesus gives in, and he performs his first miracle. Jesus turned the water in the jugs into wine, and not just any wine, but the best wine. 180 gallons of the best wine. Now, this is going to be a really great party, right? Not a single guest would go without wine for the next 3 days. There would be wine overflowing at this really awesome party. So imagine, just you're in the party, you're a party goer, just at that moment when you think the party is over, it's ending, they're running out, a miracle happens. It's a reminder of God's generosity and abundance. The miracle opens us up to new possibilities, God's possibilities. So have you ever reached this time in your life when you felt like things were coming to an end? Or have you ever approached a moment where you felt like your energy, your work, your love, your hope was depleted? Have you ever reached that point in your life? It is precisely at that moment between life and death that we long for a miracle to happen. Wonder helps us to stretch our imaginations and to help us see beyond rational knowledge, to experience the full of God's possibilities, to experience how a miracle can impress itself helps us to use our imagination to make meaning out of even the most desperate of circumstances. So what is wonder? What is wonder? How do you define wonder? Bob?
Seeking the beauty of every moment.
Seeking the beauty of every moment. Sometimes I can't use words to describe wonder, but I loved this image. Right? I said, I thank goodness I'm giving the message today, because that, I think, this picture of this baby is all I would focus on. Sue?
Not needing the answer, and just being able to go into the moment.
How do you define expecting the unexpected. Expecting the unexpected. Mary? Right up here, Mary. Thank you.
Opening up your imagination as to what could be.
Children have an amazing capacity for wonder. They express wonder as a desire to know something, a curiosity to discover something new. Have you ever gone on a walk with a two-year-old? Right? Have you ever gone for a walk with a two-year-old along the beach? You don't get very far, right? I remember the first time when one of my kids picked up a speck of sand and wondered about all the different colors in the tiniest speck of sand. Or the amazing height that water can reach when you splash into a puddle. Or the strange way a worm twists. Imagine walking through a forest and you pick up a log and you creep underneath and you can see that worm twisting and turning, making its way into the warm earth. Wonder. In this curiosity, we discover beauty in creation, in ourselves, and in all of life. Wonder is also something that is beyond human comprehension. Ordinary things can be wonders. When you wonder at an object, gratitude for that thing can emerge. Can you wonder at your chocolate bar this morning? Right? Thankfulness emerges. Wonder raises our awareness of the content of human life, and it recognizes that our knowledge is grounded in the imagination. But the amazing thing about wonder is like standing in this balance between the contingency of human life and the dependability of God. Contingency. Contingency is the uncertainty. Contingency is that knowing that life could end at any moment. It is that sense that we never know what is going to happen next. It's this tragic, at times, uncertainty. We cannot control life. And wonder stands in the balance of this dependability, this security that comes outside of ourselves. Tendency we find is this trusting sense in the universe, and we stand in between, in this tension between contingency and dependability. Here's another way to say it. When we talk about being followers of Jesus, we talk about it in this way. We believe that God is our sense of security, the one that we can be dependable on, who gives us love and strength and peace when we need it most. And yet it is God who entered into life, human life, in Jesus, and walked this walk with us and experienced the frailty of what it means to be human, all the way to making his way to experiencing the suffering on the cross. God fully knows how uncertain the life of Jesus, so that we would know that God is with us, God is dependable, God is our security and our strength to see us through whatever happens. Miracles, art, poetry, children, all help us to see and experience wonder, to see God beyond the possibilities of our knowing, and they help us to discover God's love. One of my favorite poems, which helps to understand and communicate what wonder is and how wonder broadens our imagination about miracles happening, is the poem Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. And so this morning, we're going to listen to Mary Oliver read her own poem to us.
Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear petals of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
Wonder, we experience the delight of the gifts of life. Wonder strengthens our moral fiber. Wonder connects us in compassion and empathy. Wonder elicits delight in all things. And I'd like to close with this quote by Brian McLaren. You may or may not believe in literal miracles, but faith